Coming up, the reason that you're not excited about your life. I'm going to tell you what it is. And then, what is the great stagnation? Another employment term, but how does it affect you? I'll tell you next. I'm going to help you win at work so that the rest of your life gets better. I want you to get better so your paycheck gets bigger. How about that? I got all kinds of promises today, but this one's a big one here. I'm going to tell you why you're not happy with your life. And I don't even know you, but I can tell you with absolute certainty that I know why. And the answer comes from Proverbs 29:18. Dropping some Bible verses on you today. Uh-oh. Some of you think you've gone to church. I wouldn't say that. And I can definitely tell you we're not going to take an offering. So relax. Proverbs 29:18. Without a clear vision for the future, people perish. I could say it this way. Without a clear vision for the future, companies perish. Without a clear vision for the future, sports teams perish. Without a clear vision for the future, countries perish. The scripture was right. Where there is no vision, the people perish, is the version that I grew up with. And this is true. Now, perish is an old word. So it just means destroyed, deteriorate. Cease to exist. Gonzo. We're out. And you don't have to take my word for it. Look at history. Let's just look at the history of business, shall we? The history of business. How about Blockbuster? How about Blockbuster? And I just as I was doing this, my phone my phone buzzed, and I thought, that reminds me of BlackBerry. And BlackBerry was in my notes. Like, I remember when BlackBerries came out, I thought it was the coolest thing ever. It was like this little block, you know, probably like 3 inches by 2 inches or whatever it was. And we got messages and emails on it. It was the greatest thing in the world. Kodak. Hello, do you remember Kodak? Gone. How about MySpace? Gone. Now look, Blockbuster, Kodak, BlackBerry, MySpace. It's MySpace. Yeah, Alex is in my ear. I'm like, no, it's MySpace. I had one for about 2 days. And I was at the bottom of that deal. Like 2 days before it went defunct, I was in. That's how late of a adopter I am on everything. And I remember getting a Facebook, a MySpace page. And like 3 days later, everybody's like, nobody's doing MySpace anymore. That was kind of how it happened. But I want you to look at those brands. Blockbuster, hello, household name. Millions and millions and millions and millions of Americans went and got videos from Blockbuster. Kodak. Kodak was like the king of all pictures and film and all that stuff, right? BlackBerry, a revolutionary technology at the time. And then, of course, MySpace. They kind of got us all excited, and then Facebook came in and went, we're going to do it better. Bye-bye. Four brands. No vision, not a strategic vision, and they went away. So if you don't have a vision for your life, it doesn't mean that all of a sudden you're done. We still need you. Don't put yourself on the shelf. But I'm saying if you've reached a vision from the past, you need a new vision. Because as soon as you are unable to articulate your ideal future, your vision for the future, you are in danger. You're in danger mentally, emotionally, physically, spiritually. If you don't have something to look forward to, a desired future, you are in danger. And so this just isn't a company thing. This is the individual deal as well. Personal. And if you've never had a vision in the first place, I can tell you why you're not happy. It's because you have no vision. Why? You've been wandering your whole life up to this point. If you've never had a very clear, definable, exciting vision for your life, I can tell you that you have been wandering mentally and emotionally and even physically. And financially, you've been wandering. So today I want to give you a very simple formula that I have learned over time on how to develop a vision for yourself or cast vision for others. So watch this. This is casting vision for myself and for others. So this works personally for those of you, and that's really where I'm honing in on, is those of you who don't feel like you have a compelling vision for your life, then we're going to look at it through this lens. But also, this is a great way to learn how to sell something. This is a sales strategy. This is a leadership strategy that you can use as well to be able to share a vision. So this works on us and it works for others. So here's the first step. What's the problem you want to overcome in your life? You aren't where you want to be. So there is a gap between where you are and where you want to be. What's the gap? What's the hurdle? What's the bridge that you got to cross? The ravine, you pick your analogy. What is holding you back? What has gotten you to this point? You can ask this a million different ways, but essentially we are going, there is a problem right now, and I got to solve this problem in order to be able to live the life that I want to live. Could be debt, could be health issues, could be relationship issues, could be professional issues. So where are you lacking direction, imagination, or wisdom for the future? Think about, where do you want to be 30 years from now? Start there. Where do I want to be, and what's keeping me now from having an opportunity, a belief that I can actually get there? Focus on the desires of your heart, not the details of how we get there, because details always change. Details seem to fall in line when someone is really, really clear on their big picture. So this is huge. Two things. Here's the thing. For different people, you could come at that two different ways. That's why I gave you two ways to start with, kind of figuring out what's the problem. Sometimes you have to kind of go, well, I want to go here. This is where I want to go, but financially I'm in so much debt, I can't go to school to do the thing, or whatever your scenario is. Some of you just need to go, problem is I'm not healthy and I want to be healthy. And so I've got to then be able to define the problem. What is the problem that is holding me back from the life that I want? That leads to two. You've got to begin to reverse engineer a solution. So what challenges and hurdles do I face today that are preventing me from reaching that future? How do I solve those problems so that I can make my current moment better and ultimately set myself up for a better future? So for example, if my vision for the future is to be healthy and fit, how do I overcome my limited schedule today and find time to work out? How do I meal plan so that I can develop disciplines? This is the idea. I've got to actually come up with a solution. The final piece is, I need to make it very clear to myself. It needs to be obvious to me and to others. The reason for all of this change, the reason for the solution, the reason why we're saying no more, I'm going to solve the problem today by doing this. It's your yes to the vision. Your yes to the vision is only as strong as your why. So I see this, but I see where I want to be, but I need to connect to why I want to be there. Then fourth, over-communicate this to yourself. Put it on your mirror. Put, as you're sharing it as a leader, we're talking about this all the time, whether it's a personal vision or for your company, your words to yourself or to others are the most powerful tools for reminding people, here is where we're going. Here's how we're getting there and why we believe we should go there. You say it over and over and over. This is so important. Because for many of you, this simple formula will get you to a place in your life where you can finally get unstuck. And I don't want to see you be the end of that Bible verse, where there is no vision for my life, where there's no vision for this organization, where there's no vision for this sports team, where there is no vision for this organization, where there is no vision for this country, where there is no vision, the people perish. I want you to understand that you can always select a vision. You can always craft a vision. You can always set out towards a destination that's attached to the vision. And it is absolutely vital, because that is who we are wired to be. We are wired to do, and to do something that isn't about us, but it's about others. And today I gave you a simple formula to set a vision for your life. Go get it. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Don't we all need help being better? And they're great at it. You know, we all carry around a lot of stress from our family life and our professional life, and it can just hit us at the same time. Big stuff, small stuff. And we can talk to our friends, or maybe you have a great relationship with a leader at work or a coworker, but you may not feel comfortable telling them everything. I know I wouldn't. And when we keep things bottled up, it will eventually leak out, and it's really negative. But therapy, it's a safe space to get everything off your chest with an unbiased professional and figure out how to work through the stuff that's weighing you down. So if you've thought of therapy before, you're thinking about it now, please try BetterHelp. Therapy isn't just for people who've gone through trauma. It's great to build skills, to become better personally and professionally. And BetterHelp is flexible enough to fit your busy schedule, because it's completely online. All you do is fill out a short questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist. And you can switch therapists at any time for no extra cost. It's time to get stuff off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Ken today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Ken. All right, welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show. Hey, if you knew that there was a book that was about 45 minutes long, and it was going to allow you to answer the question, who am I? What do I want to do? Where can I do it? And how do I get there? Would you buy it? And I dare say you probably would. The new book is called Find the Work You're Wired to Do. Short book. This is my latest book, and this is a very different book than what you've seen before. It's not Paycheck to Purpose Light. It's not the Proximity Principle. It is exactly right there. Find the work you're wired to do, and it includes the Get Clear Career Assessment, which is going to give you a very detailed report on who you are. This book picks up with those other three questions. What do I want to do? Where can I do it? How do I get there? It's a super practical guide. It's like me coaching you with your Get Clear Career Assessment results, and it's on pre-order right now. It comes out in May. This is a great graduation gift. It's a great gift for anybody who feels scared or stuck or confused. You can go to kencoleman.com. It's right there in the store. You pre-order it today. And here's what's cool. You're going to get the audiobook, the ebook, and the hard copy, and three assessments with each. So really cool. kencoleman.com, and right there in the store. So there you go. All right. I'm looking for my article. This is really interesting. Got to get my glasses too, guys. Now that I've made this conversion to the reading glasses, I'm fairly convinced that my eyes now know, and they don't even give a crap. Like, if I hold it like this and try to read it, I can do it, but my eyes are going, really, dude? The glasses are in your hand. I think my eyes have a mind of their own. So here we go. By the way, we had a video go viral from the show, and there's been several comments on the glasses. They like them. So, not that I care. I like it. It makes me feel good. But I was going to wear them whether you people liked them or not. A new career movement emerges. Well, we're all about the terms, right? We're all about the great resignation and the quiet quitting and the great regret and all these things. But this is less about the phrase, and this is a very, very interesting dynamic. So this is for those of you that are trying to grow professionally, move up, and this is for those of you that are leading others who want to grow. Very vital information. This is... New information study came from the University of Phoenix Career Institute, released its 2024 Career Optimism Index, a comprehensive study examining the state of American workers' career trajectories and sentiments about the future of their job. More than half, 53% of Americans, say they are easily replaceable. Gosh. Now, I wonder if this is a result of Americans believing they aren't valuable because of how they're treated, or if this is some sort of awareness, which we all know, if we're honest, that no one's irreplaceable. We have some younger people in the booth. Cause Joe and I are like the old dogs. Joe, you like how I'm including myself in that now? Like, yes. It's not just you?
Yes.
How familiar are the rest of you with the phrase, no one is irreplaceable? Kelly, have you heard that? She's young. Christian, no one's irreplaceable? All right. It's kind of a colloquialism. All right. So part of me wonders, is 53% going, look, nobody's irreplaceable. And by the way, I subscribe to that. Are we all unique? Yes. Are any of us irreplaceable? No, we're not. But it makes me wonder, is this an eyes wide open scenario, or is this people feeling like, I'm not very valuable. I'm not valued. I suspect it's a combination. What are some of the key findings? There's a wide disconnect between employer perception and, worker realities on opportunities for advancement. In other words, we've reported on this. Employers think they have created an environment where it's easy for someone to move up the ladder, but workers, they don't sense that. And so we've got this great expectation situation. I expect you to be happy from the leader standpoint. I expect you to know you've got an opportunity here. I expect you to bust it because you can grow here. And the workers are going, you don't develop me. There's no active program for developing and training and promoting. Now, I can tell you, I've been blessed to be at Ramsey Solutions, where there is a very, very intentional program and ongoing touch points with leaders and their teams with the sole purpose of growing and developing people so that they get promoted and move up. And I've seen it. But that doesn't exist in most companies. I can just tell you, if they were to post that comment on social, I'll guarantee you that the comments would bear that out and go, yeah, Ken, I've not worked at a place where they actively are training and developing for a new position or just all around upskilling. More on that in a second. So there's a great divide between what leaders think they're offering versus what the employees say that they're getting. Although workers do see a need in this study to continue acquiring skills. So that's good. They haven't given up. And they value employer investment and skilling. So one of the engagement issues that companies could turn on a dime and begin to see more engagement is people are more engaged when they feel valued. And this is not walking around going, you're really sweet and you're really nice. No. They go, you're upskilling me. You are paying for me to go to conferences. You are paying for a certification over here. You're paying for a license thing over here. You're actively investing in my growth. And when employees feel that, they appreciate it and their loyalty goes up, which means their engagement goes up. Loyalty is, you know what? You've done good for me. I appreciate you. I want to do good by you. And so then they engage. So understand that, leaders. You want to increase engagement, increase loyalty. Do things that make people loyal to you, and they're going to come in and they're going to work harder and they're going to work longer, not because you told them to, but because they want to. Woo! Leadership 101 right there. The flip side, while people they value employers investing in their upskilling, when they don't get a lack of support as it relates to growing professionally in their career moving up, then workers begin to feel stagnant. It's a fancy word for they start to just feel blah. They're kind of like Eeyore, for those of you that love the beloved purple donkey. He's just never kind of excited or hopeful about anything. And that's what happens. You create a company of Eeyores. They're just kind of wandering around. It's not going to get better. And folks, that's because we humans are creatures of progress. But despite all of this, workers are optimistic about their abilities. They believe in themselves. So really interesting. So couple things here. What can leaders do? Well, if I'm looking at this and taking from this study, leaders need to close that gap that we were talking about where they think they're offering opportunities for people to upskill and grow in their professional life so that they make more money and they can do more things in their personal life. But the workers don't. So what they got to do is got to go, wait a second, we got to do a better job of offering or talking about what we're willing to offer. It might just be that simple. We got to start offering stuff. Hey, we're going to invest in you. Oh, by the way, we want to talk about it a lot so that you realize that we want to invest in you. So that's part of it. And that's how we close that disconnect, that gap there. And then also allow your leaders to create customized team environments. And this is, I'm speaking more to your larger companies, even in small businesses of 100 and up, I would say this. I'm just kind of rule of thumbing this. If you've got multiple teams, understand that each team is its own team. It's like this on a football team. You have three teams within a team on a football team. 53-man NFL roster's got three teams. It's got the offense, it's got the defense, and special teams. All three, by the way, have coaches. Now, they're all part of the same team. The head coach is coach of all of them. But make no mistake, and I've been to several NFL training camps. I've seen how it operates. They operate as individual units of one greater team. And so there's a culture. You ever been around offensive linemen? I have. They're weird. Different dudes. Don't get me started about linebackers. These guys are certifiably nuts. Different people. Wide receivers. They're the prima donnas. Defensive backs. Cocky. I mean, I know this, Nathan, because I've been around NFL athletes. I've been around pro teams. I've walked among them in the hallways. By the way, you should see that. It's really funny. It's literally like I'm a shrimp with legs. I mean, being around these big guys, it's fantastic. But here's what I know. And so you take all those unique personalities that I just described and think about them on a unit. And here's one of the things I think leaders ought to do a better job of is allowing the leaders of that team. So the offensive coordinator, create your own kind of unique work experience for the offense. Because they're practicing together. They're rooming together on the road. They operate together in the game when it matters most. And so three other quick things for leaders, because I want to translate this to leaders. And those of you who aren't leaders going, I need to know the answers. Am I getting good answers to these three questions? Because leaders, here's what I want you to know. And those of you that aren't leaders, here's what you need to know. Here they are. Three questions. Does my work matter to me? Am I appreciated? Does my boss care about me? Leaders, listen to me. That's what every team member is asking, whether they say it out loud to you or not. They're thinking it and feeling it. They're asking. It's every day. They're kind of gauging. Does my work matter to me? Am I appreciated? Does my boss care about me? And really what's going on here is there meaning and purpose in their work? Do they get recognized for their contribution? And do they have a real relationship with you besides just the boss and the person who keeps them employed? This is really huge because if we can increase these kind of things, the relational, the communicational part of this, then you're going to see greater engagement and less stagnation and people pulling together to do great things and change their life as well. Hey, high school seniors and parents of high school seniors, it's almost graduation time. And if you're not sure about next steps, I want you to listen to this. Coding skills are essential in today's workforce. And my friends at Bethel Tech can help you start a new career really fast and do it cheap. It only takes 9 months to complete a Bethel Tech course in UI, UX design, full stack development, data science, or cybersecurity. And your young person can get over 1,000 hours of experience in a collaborative environment and then get placed. The average starting salary for a junior developer is $66,000. And the field is projected to grow by 22% over the next 5 years. Software development is a career with an enormously bright future. And right now, Bethel Tech is offering you 10% off if you watch or listen to the Ken Coleman Show and you pay cash. So go to BethelTech.net/Ken Coleman, BethelTech.net/Ken Coleman right now for details. Terms and conditions do apply. So, Ken, have you done this vision stuff, or are you just spouting from a book? Did you have pizza last night? Too many old fashions? Like, Ken, what? Okay, I appreciate this thing, but have you done it? And I think that's a really good question. And the answer is yes, not as clean and as strategic the first time I did it, but in years past. My wife and I create a vision for our lives, for our family, for us, because now we're dealing with our oldest going off to school, and good grief, Alex, that is a whole nother level of stuff. That one's coming for you. You're not too terribly far behind me. And when your firstborn goes away, and it hasn't happened yet, but it's kind of like, whoa, and now the other two are not far behind. And there's, in the not too distant future, Lord willing, Stacy and I are empty nesters, and she's really sad about it. And I'm really friggin' happy about it because I think it's going to be great. Like, what are you doing tonight, Ken? And my answer is going to be whatever the crap I want to do or whatever Stacy's got planned. And it's going to be dinner. And Nathan, I'm coming over to your house. Are you ready? No, you'll be in the thick of it. Anyway, a vision. So since these early days, and I'm going to take you back to the vision for my professional life. And it wasn't as smooth and as strategic as the plan I left for you today, which is, you know, hey, what, where do I want to go? What's kind of holding me back? What's the solve for that? And then why does all of this matter? Why go through it all? So let me take you back. I am sitting in my home, and I am on the tail end of a 6-month process that I did. It was called life mapping. And Alex, I don't even know if I've ever shared this with you, but I was going through a really, you know, intense personal discovery process called life mapping that a very well-known coach and legitimate, credible coach gave me. And he said, hey, you're my friend, and I'm not going to coach you through it. I think you can do it on your own. And I couldn't afford him. And I think he knew that. So he's like, all right, just you can do this. You're introspective enough. You're committed enough. And so it was a series of, I want you to think of worksheets. And I would go through this. And it started me on this journey of going way back to the earliest moments of my life that I can remember. And I'm not going to break it all down. But it's a very comprehensive thing. And at the end of this deal, and I'm coming to the end of this, of all these worksheets that he would normally work through with people. And I'm doing it on my own. And I have essentially gathered this document of my life map and my environment, my experience, and all the things. So here I sit. And I don't know if any of you have ever been at a point in your life where you see something and you see it clearly, but you also immediately go, whoa, that's a little scary. Or have you ever seen something so clearly and so beautiful that you almost can't believe it? Maybe it's a sunset. I remember the first time I looked at Victoria Falls in Africa, which is one of the 7 wonders of the world. And you look over the edge and you're like, whoa, I was equal parts scared because right there on the border of Zimbabwe and Mozambique, it's just kind of like there's no fence. It's this little itty bitty rope. It's the craziest thing in the world. And I remember looking over going, whoa. And then stepping back and going, whoa. Okay, that's the emotion I had when I first got the initial idea that I think I could do TV and radio. I think I could write books, and I think I can speak to thousands. Now, folks, those four things were all coming out in this worksheet stuff that I was doing. And I got to tell you, I saw it clearly. And what I mean by seeing it clearly is when the thought came into me, my heart went, yes, I want that. And I will tell you that my brain also went, whoa, that's really freaking scary. And you're probably going to embarrass yourself and fail along the way. And so that was what was going on. So vision. I didn't have this formula that I taught in the first segment, but I'm sharing a very personal story because I believe this. And for some of you, you might think this is a little mystical or goofy. And I'm here to tell you, if that's what you think, I understand it's not. And here's my premise. Whether you use the formula that I taught at the first of the show, or you just hear my story right now, I'm telling you, I believe that something powerful happens in us and around us when we lock in on a vision for our life, even if you have those immediate emotions that I had, which is, whoa, as in wow, and then whoa, which is, ah, I'm scared out of my mind. By the way, those two emotions are a good sign that it is a vision worth pursuing. In fact, if it doesn't have both of those emotions, I can tell you the vision's not big enough. Now, that didn't plan to say that, but that's absolutely true as I recount this. So here's what happened. As I look back on my journey, I remember telling my wife, she's the first person to hear it, and my wife has a master's in broadcast journalism. She's actually the educated and the real talented one in the family. And I remember feeling intimidated to tell my wife, I think it's broadcasting on some level. And I remember her asking the normal questions, what kind of broadcasting? She thought immediately sports. And I thought, well, I kind of like sports and that may be a thing. Could be political broadcasting, although I don't think that's it. I don't think it's straight news. So those two, I kind of cross off the list. So it left sports and then what else? And this is before, this is back when, you know, this is like 13, 14 years ago. And the podcasts weren't on every corner, and personal growth and leadership and professional growth and all that kind of stuff, that was all kind of in books. And it wasn't in the form of broadcasting that we now know as podcasting. Here's what happened. As scared as I was, and I sat for 2 or 3 years, that's part of my story. I just dabbled a little bit here and there. I didn't fully commit until one day I got desperate and said, all right, I'm going for it because it's aching my soul. If I don't go for this, I'm going to regret my life. But I got to tell you, when I saw the vision clear of doing the kind of show I'm doing in the studio like this, and having a nationally syndicated show and on SiriusXM and doing national media and 2 best-selling books and speaking in front of thousands of leaders like I will next week, all of that is stuff that I envisioned, but I didn't always believe that it was possible. What I did believe is that I could do it. I had this weird mix of, I believed I could do it, but at times I didn't believe it was possible. Meaning, would I get a shot? But here's what I can tell you. I read this quote one day that I'm about to read to you somewhere in about a year or two into this vision, and it changed everything for me. And I began to see the power of the vision to move me forward, even if it's a little teeny step at a time, and then big things happen. This comes from the great Scottish mountain climber. I've shared it on the show before, William Hutchison Murray. If you just are where you are in the weight room or on the lawnmower or in the car, I want you to stop right now for just a moment, pause it. And before you hit play, I want you to remove all mental distractions and just let this soak over you. This is what he said. And this is about vision. Until one is committed, there is hesitancy, the chance to draw back, always ineffectiveness. Concerning all acts of initiative, there is one elementary truth. The ignorance of this truth kills countless ideas and plans. The moment one definitely commits oneself, then providence moves too. All sorts of things occur to help that would never otherwise have occurred. A whole stream of events issues from the decision to just move, raising in your favor all manner of unforeseen incidents and meetings and material assistance, which no person could have dreamt would have come their way. I have learned a deep respect for this, that boldness has genius, power, and magic in it. William Hutchison Murray. Incredible stuff. Vision matters. Rewind. Go back. Listen. Go back and watch the beginning of the show. Get yourself a vision for your life and watch your life change for the better, faster than you think.
Thanks for listening to The Ken Coleman Show. For more, you can find the show on demand wherever you listen to podcasts and watch the show on YouTube. You can also find Ken across all social media by following @KenColeman.